ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ सदाशिवसमारम्भाम् व्यासशङ्करमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्ताम् वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानाम् आलयम् करुणालयम् नमामि भगवत्पादशङ्करम् लोकशङ्करम् शङ्करम् शङ्कराचार्यम् केशवम् बादरायणम् सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वन्दे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ सो द प्रीवियस् वर्स् वि सा how attributes of the anatma such as body, mind, sense, complex, etc. are superimposed upon the atma because of the ignorance of what atma is, isn't it? The ignorance of the atma, ignorance of the self being naturally there and the non-self being mistaken for the self, naturally, the attributes of the non-self become superimposed upon the self. And which this superimposition of the attributes means all the dharmas. Dharma means the limitations, etc. are superimposed upon the self, which is called adhyaropa or adhyasaha, isn't it? Adhyasa. So, see, the taking one thing for the other is adhyasa, and seeing the one thing's attributes as the other thing's attributes is called adhyaropa. So this is there. So that's what we saw here last class also. Ajnanate, because of ignorance alone, manasa upadhehe kartrutvadini atmani kalpyante. See, the kartrutvam, kartrutvadi means what now? Kartrutvam, bhoktrutvam. Kartrutvam means the doership. What does the doership means what? The notion that I am the doer. I am is knowledge. But I am the doer, I am is knowledge. I am the doer is the notion you have about yourself. See, this I am, its knowledge is fine. But I am the doer, when you say the addition of anything to I am becomes other than Brahman. If you add, if you say I am Brahman, that is absolute knowledge. That is the perfect knowledge, isn't it? It's a total knowledge. But I am is naturally there. But anything other than Brahman added to I am, anything added to I am other than Brahman, because what now? The notion you have about yourself, which is called Ahankara. So here we say this Kartrutvam, Bhoktrutvam, Adishabda stands for all the notions you have about yourself, all the conclusions you have made about yourself. So I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, I am the speaker, I am a knower, etc. All the notions you have about yourself. That sense of doership centered on I, etc., is all, you know, atmani kalpyante. All these notions are projected upon the self, about all these notions about the self you have about yourself, or this projection of the doership, etc., on the self because of the ignorance alone. So manasa upadehi, mainly manasa upadehi. Mind is an upadhi, and knowing is a function of the mind, belonging to the mind. Therefore, the doership is what now? Is something belonging to the mind. Enjoyership also is what now? The enjoyment is again a state of mind which belongs to the mind, dharma. But these dharmas of the mind are superimposed upon the atma, the project upon the atma because of ignorance. We saw this last class. Therefore, it's like what, really speaking, Really speaking, Atma is not the doer, Atma is not the enjoyer, Atma is not anything. Atma is not anything you think about yourself as you say, I am. Whatever you say about yourself, your conclusion is Atma is not that. That is how he says, we saw how Chalanadi, Chandre Chalanadi Yathambasaha. You know, the moon reflected in the water seems to be moving when the water moves. The movement on the part of the water, which is a reflecting medium for this moon, makes the reflection of the moon also appear to be moving. Similarly, the Atma by itself is not involved in any activities, but the reflection of the Atma appearing in the reflecting medium, the mind, because mind is of the nature of contracting and expanding, and because of the nature of the mind, and the mind being the reflecting medium for the Atma, the reflection of the Atma also appears to be moving, means what now? Appears to be having that mind's attribute. See, knowing, enjoying, etc. belongs to the mind. But what happens? The mind happens to be as upadhi, reflecting medium, and for the Atma, and the reflection of the Atma also appear to be involved in the function of knowing, doing, etc. Therefore, what happens now? This is mistaken. So, Chalanadi Ambasaha Chandre Chalanadi Ambasaha Yatha. In the same way, just as the movement on the part of the water is superimposed upon the moon, the reflection of the moon in the water. See, the original moon, I want to tell you one thing. When you see the water, listen to me carefully. When you see the water, and the water in the, suppose you see the, you see the evening time you go to the ocean, and in the ocean you can see, sitting in the seashore, the waves, big waves come and go. And you are seeing the waves are moving. And the full moon day, the waves, big waves come. Actually, on full moon day, waves really rise really very high also. And that day, you can see the reflections of moon. Many reflections of one moon you can see in the ocean. Every wave is reflects the moon. But because the wave moves, the reflection of the wave, moon also what now? No? Is moving. So the movement on the part of the reflection of the moon, listen to me carefully, is the reflected moon moving? Reflected moon is not at all moving. The reflecting medium is moving. Understand? Because the reflecting medium is moving, and the reflection also seems to be moving. The reflection seems to be moving. You are not able to separate the reflection and the reflecting medium because of the inseparability of the reflection and the reflecting medium. The movement of reflecting medium is taken to be the movement of the reflection. But actually, what should be the understanding? The reflection of the moon, or the reflected moon, is actually the original moon, which is not at all moving, which is free from any movement. Okay, the reflected moon is nothing but the original moon, which is not moving, which is of the nature of unmoving. But the reflecting, but still there is a seeming apparent, movement on the part of the moon, which is only, actually the moon is unmoving. The reflect movement of the reflecting medium, the wave, is exactly superimposed upon, falsely attributed to, transferred to the reflection. Is it clear now? How should we take it? The reflected moon is original moon. There is no such a thing called reflected moon at all. Reflected moon by itself, it doesn't have independence, isn't it? There is no such thing called reflected moon. There is only moon. The reflection of the moon is nothing but original moon, which is of the nature of unmoving. It does not move at all. But still, the reflection seems to be moving because of the movement of the reflecting medium. In the same way, kartrutvam, look at this, doership, enjoyership, isn't it? I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, etc. What? The notions, isn't it? These notions are what? Any notion is a thought. Any notion is a thought. The thought is what? Thought belongs to the mind. Like wave belongs to the mind, if I say, ocean has waves, waves form the ocean, or waves belong to the ocean, whatever I say, what does it mean? Waves are ocean, isn't it? Waves together form the ocean. The same way, if I say the notion belongs to the mind, the notion is in the mind, notion is of the mind, if I say, what does it mean? The notion is part of the mind, isn't it? So the notion is part of the mind, and that notion being there is what now? It's a dharma, manodharma, isn't it? Any notion is a thought, which is a mind. But what happens? That becomes superimposed. The doing is something which is, the knowing is something which is happening on the part of the mind. Enjoyment also is something which is a vrittihi. So it's all vritti, manasa dharmaha. But they become, no vritti is possible. No knowing, no enjoying, nothing is possible on the part of the mind without the reflection of consciousness. See, mind by itself cannot be involved in the function of knowing or enjoying, worrying, feeling sad, feeling upset, feeling pleased, etc. All these dharma they belong to the mind. Mind is involved in all these things. Understand? Feeling sad, feeling upset, feeling dejected, feeling depressed, or feeling pleased, feeling, what all these feelings about now, different thoughts. But this is a function of mind. Knowing, enjoying, etc. functions of the mind. It means these functions on the part of the mind are impossible if without the reflection of consciousness. Understand? But consciousness by its reflection of consciousness is not involved in any of the functions. Without the reflection of consciousness in the mind, mind cannot become conscious and sentient, and there cannot be even these functions. But these functions are possible because mind is active and alive, conscious, because of the reflection of consciousness. But reflection of consciousness by itself is not involved in any of the functions and activities. But because of the inseparability and the closeness and proximity of reflection of consciousness in the reflecting medium mind, what happens now? The movement and the actions, the functions of the mind are falsely taken to be the functions of the reflection. Actually, the reflection is the reflected consciousness is, there's no such thing called a reflected consciousness. The reflection of consciousness is the pure original consciousness, which is of the nature of actionlessness. Is it clear? Which means, look at this. Now we say, there's light, in the presence of the light, this opaque mic is here. this mic now shines, and the, in the presence of the mind, what do you say? There is reflected light. Without the, if there is no light at all, there cannot be, the light cannot be reflected, isn't it? In the absence of light, how can the light be reflected? The reflection of the light is possible only if there is original light. The original light becomes the reflected light in the presence of the reflecting medium called opaque object. Isn't it? So, the opaque object now, whatever the action, the functions involved, the opaque object is involved in. Opaque object alone is involved, but we take, because of the closeness and the inseparability of the reflected light and the reflecting medium, the opaque mic. What if we say, you know, suppose instead of saying mic is recording, we say the light is, here don't say that. What will happen? Mic is now involved in recording means, that is fine. But the mic's function becomes superimposed upon what? The light. Here it's not, example won't be very clear for you what I give. Just I want to understand very clearly. Here the manifesting medium, the mind, by itself without having the manifest consciousness is incapable of doing any function, isn't it? It's not incapable of involving itself in any function. The mind is capable of functioning because of the manifestation of consciousness. But the manifest consciousness and the mind being inseparably close, the function of the mind becomes superimposed upon the Atma as though it is function of the Atma, the reflected consciousness. Is it clear? It's like when there is original face and there is a mirror in front of you and the mirror has a reflected face. When the mirror moves like this, imagine the mirror is moving like this. Okay, mirror is moving like this. And the reflection of your face in the mirror also is moving. But can you say, look at this, my mirror, my face is moving, my face is moving. Can you say that? In your face, what should you say? The face reflected in the mirror is seemingly moving because of the movement on the part of the mirror. This face does not move at all. It is the mirror alone moves. Why? Because the reflected face, which seems to be moving, is not real, isn't it? If the face is only, this is the real face. The reflected face is original face, which is of which does not move like this. What is moving is only the reflecting medium, the mirror. Is it clear? Hope it is very clear for you. But the problem is, we cannot separate the reflected face and the reflecting medium mirror physically, but you have to cognitively, intellectually separate the reflection from the reflecting medium. Then say the reflection is this original face, reflected face is this original face which does not move. Is it clear? Is what he says. Because we do not know what this reflection is, what this reflection is, we do not know. Because the sorupam of reflection is not known, what is the sorupam of the reflection is not known. Therefore, reflection itself is becomes what now? Real, isn't it? And the reflection and being inseparably associated with the reflecting medium, it is taken to be the reflected, associated with the reflected medium. This is called identity, okay? Wrong identity. Is it clear? I'll tell you again, listen to me carefully. This is a very important lesson. If we keep Suppose your eyes, I repeat this many times, I have told this, I repeat it today again. The eyes are supposed to be seeing everything in the world. But the eyes want to see themselves, okay? The eyes can never see themselves. And if at all eyes can see themselves, only through the manifesting medium, the mirror. The reflecting medium, mirror. So the eyes can see their reflection of themselves. Eyes can see only the reflected eyes, not the original eyes. Is it clear? The eyes can see everything in the world, but eyes can never see themselves. And if at all eyes have to see themselves, eyes can see only their reflection. So eyes can never see their reflection without the reflecting medium, the mirror. Is it clear? Is it true? In the same way, please understand. Consciousness, pure consciousness, pure consciousness, the pure knowledge which is there, as also we discussed it. The pure consciousness, the pure knowledge is never available for experience or transaction. Just as original eyes are not available for sight, as an object of seeing, isn't it? Original eyes are never available for seeing, an object of sight. Eyes never become an object of seeing. Similarly, pure consciousness is never available for objectification, object of knowledge. Remember this, okay? You have to example. Original eyes, never do they become object of seeing. Similarly, the pure consciousness never becomes an object of knowledge. But the pure consciousness is available for experience only when it is there as a reflected consciousness. But your own eyes, which can never be seen originally. Original eyes can never become the object of sight. But they can become object of sight only when they are reflected. Isn't it? Original eyes become the seer. The reflected eyes become the seen. Look at this. Original eyes become the seer eyes, subject eyes. Reflected eyes become the seen eyes. So reflected eyes alone become the object of sight. Original eyes never become the object of sight. But if these original eyes, if at all that become object of sight, they have to become what now? Only reflected eyes alone can be seen. And for the original eyes to be reflected, there must be reflecting medium. Do I make sense? On the reflecting medium, the mirror is, then in the mirror, there are reflected eyes. And the mirror and the reflected eyes are inseparable. And when the mirror moves, the reflected eyes also move. Then what should you take? Look at that, my eyes are moving. No, what should you say? Eyes are not moving. The reflecting medium, the mirror alone is moving. But the eyes seem to be moving because the reflected eyes are original eyes. Is it? Reflected eyes are original eyes. Original eyes are not reflected eyes. The reflected eyes are original eyes, which are not moving. Is it clear? In the same way, the pure consciousness is never available for experience or objectification or transaction, perception, but the reflected consciousness is available. Okay? Available for transaction. But the is it clear now? Available for transaction. But the reflected consciousness is possible only if there's a reflecting medium, the mind. When the reflected mind, because the reflection of consciousness is involved in many functions, just knowing, enjoying, etc. And those functions which belong to the mind, and those functions are mistaken to be the functions of the reflected consciousness. What should say? The reflected consciousness is a pure consciousness, original consciousness, which is of the nature of actionlessness. Now, you are not able to cognitively separate the reflected consciousness and the reflecting medium, the mind, or manifest consciousness and the manifesting medium, the mind, and they're inseparably, we saw in Drishyaveka, tapta ayah pindavatu, like the well-heated iron ball, like how heat and iron ball are inseparably united. So this reflected consciousness and the mind are inseparably united. So what happens now? Because of the proximity, the closeness and the inseparability, like even how your own mirror and the reflection of your face, inseparable, you mistake what now? The reflection is identified with the reflecting medium. Reflection becomes identified with the reflecting medium. That means what? Reflection is not identified with its original swarupam. What should do? That is what the whole problem. And Vedanta helps you to change this understanding. What is reflection and what is reflecting medium? What is the original one? And how to separate intellectually the reflection from the reflecting medium? And understand the swarupam of the origin of the reflection being pure consciousness, and which is of the nature of actionlessness. Is it clear? Clear or not? Become clear, don't worry. Therefore, this is what we saw in the last class. Now he is going to go on and on like this. Okay? Beautifully is going to say that now. Why? Because there are tarkikaha, logicians. According to logicians, all the mind is the atma, for them, and all the action functions of the mind are the because functions of the atma. The argument is, if you say mind by itself is inert, is not involved in any activities. See, what do you say? Mind is inert in nature. Therefore, it cannot function by itself. Therefore, mind is not involved in activities. And it is because of the Atma alone, mind becomes conscious and sentient and involved in functions and activities. Therefore, now why can't we say the functions belong to the Atma? Okay, Tarkikaha. The logicians, they say that. Therefore, no, that we should not say. That is wrong. Shankara says that he is giving answer to these logicians who say the functions of, function means what? The different functions of the mind, attributes of the mind, like entertainment of aversion, dveshaha, or entertainment of attachment, ragaha, krodaha, anger, hatred, passion, aversion, or desire, likes and dislikes, all these different phenomena in the form of thoughts only. In what form? The anger is a phenomenon, natural phenomenon, subtlest phenomenon. In what form is it there? Like how any so many gross phenomena you see externally, anger is also one phenomenon, isn't it? Phenomena, and in the subtlest form. Desire is a phenomenon. Fear is a phenomenon. We have all different, the different phenomena obtaining in the form of thoughts alone. And all these things, where are they? They're all thoughts. But you say thoughts are all what? Inert. So inert thought, now anger as the thought by itself is not there. Isn't it? So these thoughts are dormant and they become manifest and they expand and they're there only when there is the mind becomes conscious and sentient. And for which there must be manifestation of consciousness in the mind. Therefore, all these things belong to the Atma. Why can't we say that? Why can't we say, no? Because it is only because of the presence of the Atma, manifestation of the Atma alone, mind becomes functional, mind becomes conscious, mind becomes sentient. That means mind is involved in all these functions. Knowing, desiring, getting angry, etc. Isn't it? So why can't we say all these attributes belong to the Atma? This is what logicians say. No, Shankara says no. How does he say no? We'll see this verse. Rage cha sukha dukkhadi.
Rage cha sukha dukkhadi.
Buddho satyam pravartate.
Buddho satyam pravartate.
Sushupto nasti tannashe.
Sushupto nasti tannashe.
Tasmad. Buddhestu natmanah.
Buddhestu natmanah.
Ragecha sukha dukkhadi.
Ragecha sukha dukkhadi.
Buddho satyam pravartate. Sushuptau nasti,
sushuptau nasti
tannashe,
tannashe
tasmad,
tasmad
buddhestu,
buddhestu
natmanah. See what is the argument I told you earlier presented? Listen to this. See, logicians say, look at this. You people say mind is a material product. Therefore, mind is inert in nature. Therefore, mind by itself does not have existence of its own. And mind is dependent on Atma even for its existence. So, mind is dependent on Atma for it to become functional, to become sentient and conscious. If poor mind, which is dependent on Atma to become functional, sentient and conscious, and for you to become existent, how can you say all these attributes belong to the mind then? It is because of the Atma alone mind becomes conscious. is because our Atma and mind becomes sentient and functional, therefore all these functions belong to the Atma only. All these dharmas belong to the, what are all the dharmas? The knowing, Atma's function. Understanding, getting angry, being desirous, having hatred, having passion, having aversion, all these things belong to the Atma only. Is the reason, okay, they give. But Shankara says, no. He says, raga, raga, icha, sukha, dukkha, adi. Shankara mentions, enumerates few of the aspects of the mind. Look at this. Few vrittis, okay? Vritti, few very different thought modifications for belonging to the mind he is enumerating. Look at this. Raga. Ragaha means what? Raga means attachment. And Icha means what? Desire. Sukham, pleasure. Dukkham, pain. Adi. Adi stands for etc. You have to add what now? You can add all those things. Kama, krodha, lobha, moha, madha, matsarya, knowledge, ignorance, pain, fear, anger. All these things you can include in that. Okay? Different thoughts which constitute the antahkaranam. Isn't it? Various thought modifications which form the mind, all of them. When do they exist? When do all these different thought modifications exist? When is the anger? When is the desire? When is the greed? When is hatred? When is attachment? When is it? Are these things in the deep sleep state? When you are fast asleep in deep sleep state, and which is called deep sleep state of the mind, in that state of the mind, there is no desire, there is no like, there is no dislike, there is no anger, there is no pain, there is no pleasure. That is why it is called what? Isn't it? Bliss. Why do you call it bliss? Deep sleep state is the experience of bliss actually. Isn't it? That means there's no pain, there's no pleasure, there's no hatred, there's no anger. That means there's no mental turbulence is not there. The mind is so serene, tranquil. All the thoughts are put off. All the thoughts are asleep. All thoughts are resolved. No thoughts are there. There is no such thing called anger, raga, or dvesha, or icha, or sukham, or dukkham. Nothing. Nothing is there in deep sleep state. No, I slept very well. As I was sleeping, I was very angry. Thank God. That is one time Bhagavan has naturally blessed us with. That is why we are sane when we get up in the morning. Every day morning, why we look very fresh in the morning? Why can't we be fresh in the evening? Tell me. Why are we fresh in the morning? Why are we not fresh in the evening? Because the whole night, no anger, no desire, no likes, no dislikes, no passion, no aversion, no fear, no tension, nothing is there. Whole night, that's what is rest. Then when you get up in the morning, fresh mind. And 6 o'clock, slowly some thump comes. 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, finished. All this, your mind is so disturbed. So much. That is why we are not fresh. All people praise this early morning is very good. Why it is good? Because when the more thoughts come, anger, jealousy, hatred, etc. only come in the morning. After that, after afternoon only. Bacham, afternoon comes. How in India, the sun, the day as it becomes afternoon, the sun is much better, very hot. Now again, evening is cool. But then as the day goes, and we also become so turbulent and disturbed. Is it clear now? That means what? In deep sleep state, nobody complains, I was very angry when I was sleeping. I was very upset when I was sleeping. Nobody says that. Because in sleep, that is sleep means only bliss. What is a bliss? No anger, no desire, no sukham, no dukkham, no... Is there nothing? Nothing is there. That means what? When the mind is... there are, even then pure original consciousness is. In deep sleep state, pure original consciousness is. What is not there? There is no knowledge. I am. There is no knowledge. Anger is. Pain is. Desire is. This, what now? It is, knowledge is not there, isn't it? Knowledge of, in deep sleep state, anger is, desire is, everything is. But it's all resolved, isn't it? Therefore, what he says here is, when in deep sleep state, all the thoughts are resolved. Listen to me carefully. When the thoughts are resolved, there is no reflection. Because reflecting medium is not there. There is no reflection of consciousness. But there is original consciousness. And original pure consciousness is not available for transaction. And the pure consciousness which is not available for transaction is as good as non-existent. Not non-existent, okay. Because not available for transaction. Therefore, pure consciousness is, there is no reflection of consciousness. Why? Because there is no reflecting medium, the vritti. The vrittis are there, only then there is reflection of consciousness, isn't it? Then there will be what now? Anger, desire, etc. When do you have anger, desire, hatred, etc.? Only in waking state. When is the waking state? Only when the vrittis, the thoughts are all, when the mind is functional. The thoughts are all there. Therefore, now you tell me, when the mind is resolved, there is no anger, hatred, etc. There is no knowledge also. When the mind is resolved, there is pure knowledge, isn't it? Consciousness, reality as pure consciousness is. But there is no manifest knowledge. There's no knowledge I am, there's no knowledge the universe is. This is all manifest. The knowledge I am is manifest knowledge. The knowledge the universe is manifest knowledge. This knowledge, manifest knowledge is not there. Knowing, there's no knowing, there's no jealousy, there's no hatred, there's no anger. Why? Because thoughts are resolved. The thoughts are, they're all there. The thoughts are not there, they are not there. Now tell me, this anger, etc. belong to what? If the thoughts are resolved also, there must be anger, hatred, desire, etc. Isn't it? See, when the thoughts are resolved, there is pure consciousness, Atma. When the pure consciousness, Atma is, thoughts are resolved, then there is no anger, there is no desire, there is no hatred, there is no such, no thoughts. If these, all these thoughts, I mean all these anger, desire, etc., the fear, etc., all these phenomena really belong to the Atma, then even when the mind is not, they must be there. Even when the mind is non-functional, they must be there. That means in deep sleep state also you must be experiencing them. Because they don't belong to Atma, when the Atma alone is, they are not there. When the mind is, they are there. When the mind is resolved, they are all not there. When the mind is up, they are all there. Atma is always there. Whether the mind is resolved or the mind is resolved or mind is up, Atma is always there. Only in the presence of the mind, only when the mind is functional, all the presence means what? Only when the mind is functional and active, thoughts are there, vritti, different antakarana vrittis are there, all these problems are there. When the mind is non-functional, the thoughts are resolved, these are all not there. Therefore, these dharmas belong to the mind or the Atma. This is Shankara's answer for the Tarkikas. Is it clear? Therefore, he says, Raga Icha Sukha Dukkhadi Pravartate, they are all there, Buddhyam Buddho Satyam, only when the mind is available for transaction. In deep sleep state, mind is there, but thoughts are resolved. If our mind is non-functional, inactive. When the mind is inactive, when the thoughts, antahkarana vrittis, the thought aspect of the mind is resolved, then there is no experience of pain, pleasure, knowledge. There's no knowledge. You cannot talk about the knowledge of something. You cannot talk about the ignorance of something. Isn't it? There's no jealousy, there's no hatred, there's no anger, there's no desire. Why? Because thoughts are not there. Therefore, he says, Buddho Satyam Pravartate. Only when the buddhi is there, intellect is there, which means what? Only when the mind is there, all of them are there. Sushuptau Nasti. In deep sleep state, all these are not there. Sushuptau nasti means what? No, in deep sleep state, there is no attachment, there is no desire, there is no pain, there is no pleasure, there is no experience of pleasure, pain, etc. In deep sleep state, thoughts are resolved. That means pain, pleasure, etc. are also resolved. They are not, isn't it? They are not experienced, available for experience. Sushupto nasti. Why they are available for experience? Because the thoughts are not there. Tannashe. Whereas when the mind is resolved, tannashe means what now? When the mind is resolved, in the tannashe, when the mind is resolved, tasyaha buddhehe nashe. When the mind is resolved in deep sleep state, that these experience of different things are not there. Tasmat. Buddhehe tu. Therefore, all these things belong, all this knowledge, anger, desire, etc. belong to the mind. Buddhehe. But now belongs to the buddhi, intellect, mind alone. Na atmanaha. They do not belong to the atma. Is it clear or not? If you are very, very subtle minded, you would have noticed one thing. See, these are another thing to understand, the non-duality. If everything is one, there is no second reality, second thing. Your deep sleep state is a beautiful model to understand. In deep sleep state, we say there is no experience. What is not there in deep sleep state? There is no experience. There is no experience, and there is no, therefore the division also is not there. Experience is not there. Therefore, experiencer, experience, experienced, division also is not there. Triputi Bhedaha. The knower, knowledge, known, this difference is not there. The difference also is resolved, isn't it? When there is, listen to me very carefully. When there is no knowledge, in deep sleep state, there is no knowledge I am. There is no knowledge the universe is. What does it mean? The knowledge I am, the knowledge I am, the universe is. This knowledge is which now what knowledge? Manifest knowledge. Manifest knowledge. Is it clear? And this knowledge, the manifest knowledge is experience. Do you understand? Manifest knowledge is experience. But when the manifest knowledge is not there, when the knowledge is not manifest, there is no experience. Manifest knowledge is equal to experience. We call it vritti jnanam. So when this knowledge is not manifest, there is no experience. Knowledge is manifest, manifest knowledge is experience. When the knowledge is not manifest, there is no experience. When the knowledge is not manifest, does it mean knowledge is not there? Tell me. Knowledge, when the knowledge is not manifest, does it mean knowledge is not there? No. The knowledge is not manifest also. Knowledge is. Why knowledge is not manifest? Whenever the manifesting medium is not there, there is no manifest knowledge. When the knowledge is not manifest, then there is no experience, but there is pure knowledge. Okay? The knowledge, when the manifesting medium is there, the same knowledge is said to be what now? Manifest knowledge. When the manifesting medium is not there, same knowledge is said to be pure knowledge. Is it clear? In the presence of the mirror, there is reflection of the face. The mirror is not there, reflection alone is not there, still there is original face. In the same way, in the presence of the mind, the manifesting medium, there is manifest knowledge. And in the presence of the thoughts, the manifesting media, there is manifest knowledge. When the thoughts are not there, there is no manifest knowledge. There is pure knowledge, the original knowledge, the source of knowledge. The pure knowledge is what? Pure consciousness. The pure consciousness in the presence of the thought is a manifest knowledge. In the absence of thoughts, pure knowledge. Got it? And when the knowledge is manifest, there is experience. If the knowledge is not manifest, there is no experience. When there is no experience, experiencer, experience, experienced, knower, knowledge, known, divisions are not there when there is pure knowledge. The knowledge is pure, all the divisions are resolved. When the knowledge is manifest, there is experience, then there is what now? Experiencer, experience, experienced, knower, knowledge, known, differences are there. Is it clear? When the knowledge is manifest, divisions are. When the knowledge is pure, when it is not manifest, what is it called? Pure knowledge, isn't it? Knowledge is not manifest, all the divisions resolve. Big thing, isn't it? I got it. You see the difference. And what is that? Therefore, pure consciousness is never available for transaction. Pure knowledge is never available for transaction. The pure consciousness is eternally, all-pervadingly, but is available for transaction only when it is manifest, isn't it? But it is, becomes manifest only in the presence of the manifesting media, the thoughts. Is it clear? Then let's explain the differences come. Therefore, what he wants to make it very clear. Tannashe, when the thoughts are of the nature of resolving and manifesting, the thoughts resolve, then there is consciousness is also what? No, not manifest. Then it remains as pure knowledge. And thought, see, when the knowledge is manifest, the pure consciousness with its manifest consciousness is. And the manifesting medium is not there. Pure consciousness is without the manifestation. It's like your face is there, original face is there, with its reflection in the presence of the mirror. The pure consciousness is without the reflection in the absence of the mirror. Is it clear now? Therefore, don't say all this is, again making us see very clearly, these dharmas belong, manasa dharma, because the previous verse he said, all these attributes of the mind are taken to be the attributes of the Atma, because the Atma ignorance. Now he is making it very clear, please understand, don't say they belong to the Atma, they all belong to the mind alone. Why? Because if it belong to the Atma, they must be there always. Because Atma is eternal. So the pain, pleasure, etc. also must be what now? If they belong to Atma, they must be eternally there. They will be eternally experience of pain and pleasure, the sukham, dukkham, etc., raga, dvesha, etc., eternally there. That means you can't rest even in sleep. At least even in sleep, at least in sleep you have some rest. Why? Because they don't belong to you, the Atma. When you are yourself, you are free. If you knowingly you are free. You have your happiness. Unknowingly you are yourself, you are bliss. Okay? Look at this. Ignorantly you are yourself, you are bliss. Knowingly you are yourself, totally ignorantly you are yourself, you are bliss. And knowingly you are yourself, you are happiness. But half knowingly, half unknowingly when you are there, isn't it? And when you mix up, when you are not yourself, you are not this way, all these people teach us, just be thyself. Be thyself. A big teaching, okay? What can you understand? Be yourself. Just be. Just be. Big teaching. Oh, what a teaching. Just be. One word. It worked so much for me. People talk about all these things. How will you understand all these things? Just be. Just be. What a profound statement. How profound it is, what you have understood. It's all rubbish, isn't it? You have to learn systematically. So here, is it clear now? So, when you are yourself, ignorantly, you are bliss. When you are yourself, knowingly, you are happiness. But when you are not just yourself, you mistake yourself, isn't it? You mistake something else for yourself. Because of your association with something else, isn't it? Then what happens? We're all there. So, the experience must be eternal. Experience of world must be eternal. Experience of the knowledge that I am must be eternally there. The knowledge I am, which is a manifest knowledge, must be eternally there. When the universe is, that experience of the universe must be eternally there. Then there should not be any time the world should disappear. All the time there must be experience of the world. All the time there must be experience of yourself. Isn't it? And all the time there must be experience of pains and pleasures, pairs of opposites. But it's not true. Experience changes. That's why we talk about three states of experience. There's no only one state of experience, isn't it? Only one state of experience. What is that? All the time we are experiencing the world, all the time we are experiencing pairs of opposites. That's not true. That means experience is not there. Experience of the objects also is not there. Whenever the thoughts resolve, therefore, experiencing is a function of the thoughts. Is it clear now? Experiencing, isn't it? Knowing, therefore doing, etc., enjoying, etc., belong to the mind alone. But they are taken to be your. Without you, there cannot be any experience. But understand, experience is you, but you are not the experience or the experienced. Is it clear? Clear or not? Hope I made it very clear. Have I? Tasmat buddhehe. Therefore, they all belong to the mind alone. Natu atmanaha. Not the atma. They do not belong to the atma. Is it clear? Okay. And now you can see, even when the mind is resolved, where is the mind? It is not outside of you. Isn't it? The mind remains resolved where? Not outside of consciousness. When it's manifest also, where is it? In you. When the mind is manifest, it is in you. It is resolved also, it is in you. Resolved mind also is in you, the consciousness. Manifest mind also is what now? Expanded mind, contracted mind is in you only. But the mind which means resolved in you becomes manifest, then there you can see yourself. And if your own mind is resolved, you remain just yourself without your reflection. Is it clear? Okay. Now the 24th verse. Now it's at last okay. If you say all these are attributes of the mind, Manodharmaha, Buddhi Dharmaha, Antakarna Dharmaha. What are they? The knowing, enjoying, feeling, the jealousy, hatred, anger, etc. They all belong to the mind, not to the Atma. Means, then what is that Atma then? Okay, now 24th verse only, he is starting Atma Swarupam. 23 verses he was just dragging. Look at this. Prakashor kasya to yasya.
Prakashor kasya to yasya.
Shaitya magnerya toshnata.
Shaitya magnerya toshnata.
स्वभाव सच्चिदानंद नित्य निर्मलतात्मनः प्रकाशोर्कस्यतो यस्य शैत्यमग्नेर्यथोष्णता स्वभाव सच्चिदानंद नित्य निर्मलतात्मनः What is the, if you say Atma, what is the nature of the Atma? Because you need to know the nature, to how to arrive at the Atma, isn't it? What is the Swarupam is the word, Swabhava. In what, Swabhava, Swarupam, what is the difference? I tell you. Swabhava here means in what form does the Atma exist by itself? Okay, in what form does Atma exist by itself? Existing by itself is called Swabhava. Swabhavaha. Substance existing by itself is called what? Swabhava. In what form does it exist? If I say every leaf is green in color, not in the autumn, I shouldn't say that. Winter, you can't say that now. Isn't it? End of autumn. Multicolors. If I say generally any leaf is green in color. So being green in color is the swabhava of the leaf means what? Any leaf always is in what form is a leaf? Leaf is in the form of what now? In the form of green color. Now, in what form is the fire? In what form is the, in what form is the water? You can say water is liquid, etc. That's a different thing. We can have so many forms, so many things you can talk about. If water is in the form of a liquid, then water is of the nature, is the nature of chillness. Water is by itself is cold in its form. Water by itself is cold. And water is by itself is cold. And what about fire? Fire by itself is hot. That means the nature of the fire, swabhava, is in what form is the fire? For water is in the form of heat. In what form is the water? Water is in the form of chillness, isn't it? In the form of the cold. The water is always cold in its nature. It means it says the nature of coldness, chillness. That means it's its original nature. Therefore, similarly, what is the swabhava of the Atma? What is the nature of the Atma? In what form is Atma there? What form Atma is? Atma is in the form of Sat. Atma is in the form of, Chit. And Atma is in the form of Ananda, and Atma is of the nature of what? Nitya Nirmalata. Nitya Nirmalata means, purity. Nitya Nirmalata means ever being pure forever. Ever purity, isn't it? Ever being pure is the nature of the Atma. And that Atma, which is of the nature of purity, which is ever pure, is in the form of Sat Chit Anandaha. Atma is the word means what? Atma is the word used to mean the reality obtaining as the self, the absolute reality, the ultimate truth obtaining as the self is known by the term Atma. Therefore, what is the reality which obtains as the self? What is Atma? That Atma, in what form is that Atma? So the reality obtaining as the self is in the form of existence. If you, unless you know what existence is, you do not know what Atma is. And that reality which obtains as the self is in the form of Chit, the pure consciousness. That reality which obtains as the Atma, self, is of in the form of happiness, fullness. If you know what fullness is, you know what Atma is. If you know what Chit consciousness is, you know what Atma is. If you know what existence is, you know what Atma is. If you do not know all of them, if you say, I know Atma, you don't know Atma. It's like saying, I don't know what fire, no? I know what fire is. Do you know heat? No. Without knowing what heat is, how can you say you know fire? I know fire, I know fire. I know very well fire. Oh, you know what heat is then? No. A fire is in the form of heat only. You have to recognize fire only in the form of heat. The word fire does not convey anything if you have not understood what the word heat means. Got it? Because the fire is available for cognition only in the form of heat. Similarly, Atma also, the reality which obtains, reality which obtains as the self of every being also is in the form of existence, consciousness and happiness. And this the reality obtains as the self, which is in the form of existence, consciousness and happiness, is the nature of purity, is ever pure. In this nature, ever pure. Ever pure means never pollutable, never can be made impure. Okay, Atmanah Swabhavam. So why he talks about Swabhava here? Because knowledge of Atma implies what now? In fact, knowledge of Atma is always in terms of its Swarupam. Because Atma being the very self, very Swarupam of the knower, because you have to know, you are the one who wants to know the self. Therefore, and Atma happens to be the very Swarupam of the knower. I'm repeating it. Atma happens to be the very Swarupam of the knower. And the Atma which happens to be Swarupam of the knower is what now? Is actually the truth, Brahman, the reality. And that Atma has to be known means the knower knowing one's own Swarupam, isn't it? Knower knowing its own Swarupam. Is it clear? Does it go above the head or what? Knower knowing its own Swarupam, one's own Swarupam, isn't it? I tell you again, reality obtains as the self is the Atma. Therefore, here this Atma is what knower? Is the very swarupam of the knower. Very swarupam of the knower means, who is the knower? You have to say, I am the knower. You are the knower. Therefore, what is Atma now? Your own swarupam. And this Atma has to be understood in terms of its swarupam. Atma and the swarupam of the knower has to be known in terms of its swarupam, its nature. So what is the nature? In what form is the Atma? Atma is in the form of existence. Therefore, you should know what now. What does the word existence mean? Only now you are going to think, oh, I never thought that I did not know the meaning of the word existence. Ever thought? We have our own limited understanding of the word existence. What does the word existence mean? Sat. You say existence of chair, existence of universe, existence of light, existence of mic, existence of things, existence of pictures, existence of this. Okay, what does the word existence mean? Existence is a term for which there is a substance, substantive, there is a substance, isn't it? What is the substance? Abstract, isn't it? What does the word existence mean? The consciousness. What does the word consciousness mean? Consciousness. What is consciousness? What is existence? Now, anandaha, happiness, fullness, limitlessness. What is fullness? What is happiness? Existence is consciousness. Consciousness is fullness. And how is it? Ever pure. Ever pure means what? It's free from all these limitations, free from all the punya papas, free from all the blemishes, free from all these impurities. The so-called impurities. Ever pure. Therefore, he is going to elaborate on this now. Therefore, if it is very important for us to know the meaning of each word, existence is this, the Atma is in the form of existence. Atma is in the form of consciousness. Atma is in the form of happiness, fullness. And that Atma, which is in the form of existence, consciousness, happiness, is ever pure. Therefore, and that Atma in the form of existence, consciousness and happiness, or full limitlessness, is not involved in any of the activities, not involved in the functions. All the attributes belong to Anatma, not to the Atma. The existence also we can say now, the existence manifest is available for experience. Look at this now. Existence Manifest is available for experience. Existence, when it is not manifest, it is pure existence. Adding this word adjective pure to the existence. Why? To differentiate from the manifest. Existence manifest is available for transaction, available for experience. Existence, when it is not when this manifesting medium, then there is manifestation. When there is manifestation of existence, it is available for experience and transaction. When there is no manifesting medium, when there is no manifestation, there is pure existence which is not available for transaction. You have to go step by step, okay? They become very clear. Same way, consciousness, otherwise called what? Knowledge, okay? When it's manifest, it is manifest. When the manifesting medium is there, when it is manifest knowledge that is available for transaction and experience. When the manifesting medium is not there, there is no manifestation, then there is pure knowledge or pure consciousness which is non-transactable. So also, happiness, a synonym of fullness or limitlessness also. When it is manifest, it is available for transaction. When it is not this manifesting medium is not there, it is not manifest, it is pure anandaha. Happiness is not available for transaction. Pure anandaha, pure happiness is not available. There is no such thing called pure happiness and manifest, okay? There is only happiness. There is consciousness, there is which is the existence, and which is of the nature of fullness, and which is always there. And this, we add the word pure to distinguish it from the manifest. Because what is available for transaction is manifest. And what is not available for transaction, when it's not available for transaction, it does not mean it is non-existent. Because our human intellect is of that nature, anything not available for transaction is as good as non-existent, isn't it? Therefore, immediately we arrive at the conclusion that nothing is there. Therefore, the manifest existence is the manifest consciousness knowledge. The manifest knowledge is manifest, what now? Anandaha. But for this existence, for this pure consciousness, which is the existence, which is of the nature of fullness, to become manifest, it needs what? Manifesting medium, the mind. But the Atma, the consciousness, existence, happiness, which is the pure consciousness, which is the existence, which is of the nature of happiness, is not dependent on the manifesting medium for its existence. It is dependent on the manifesting medium for manifestation. Is it clear? Why? Because the manifesting medium itself is its own power. The manifesting medium itself is dependent on Atma, Satchidananda Atma, for its existence. The manifesting medium is dependent on Satchidananda Atma for its existence. Whereas Atma, the Satchidananda Atma, is dependent on the manifesting medium, the mind, for its existence. But the Atma is dependent on the manifesting medium, the mind, for becoming manifest. But when it becomes manifest alone, when it becomes manifest alone, it is available for transaction. Is it clear? We'll see that later on again. I'm going to step by step, we have to go start from here. This verse onwards. Now, you have to remember this. How do you know Atma, when whether it is manifest or not, in the absence of the manifesting medium, the mind also, Atma, Satchidananda Atma is without its manifestation. In the presence of the manifesting medium, the mind also, Atma is with its manifestation. Isn't it? So manifestation alone is time bound. Because manifesting medium is time bound, but the original Satchidananda Atma is eternal. How do we say it is eternal? Because the original, like typically, original face must be there for the reflected face to be there. The reflected face will be there only when the reflecting medium mirror is. Whether the reflection is or not, isn't it? In the presence of the reflecting medium mirror, original face is along with its reflection. And the reflected face is not, the reflecting medium is not, original face alone is without its reflection. Therefore, reflection is time-bound because reflection is dependent on the reflecting medium's presence, whereas original face is not time-bound, isn't it? Similarly, the original Satchidananda Atma, Atma whose Swarupam, whose nature is, who is in the form of Atma, which is in the form of pure consciousness, which is the existence, which is of the nature of happiness or fullness, is not always there. In the presence of the mind, it is manifest. In the absence of the mind, it is there without its manifestation. Is it clear? And manifest is available for experience. Manifest is available for transaction. When it is not the original pure consciousness existence, Atma is not available for transaction, non-transactable. That non-transactable Atma cannot be said to be any implied by any word. You understand what is that non-transactable Atma, isn't it? From the standpoint of, or with reference to the manifest. Is it clear? That is why, how do we know that? In deep sleep state, in deep sleep state, you are Atma. You are very much there. In waking state also, you are very much there. Isn't it? You know you are in waking state. And you know you are very much there in deep sleep state, even though you do not know you are. Isn't it? So the Atma are very much there in deep sleep state without your reflection, without your manifestation, because you have withdrawn your own manifesting medium. When the manifesting medium, the mind is withdrawn, then your own manifestation, you are there without your manifestation. Therefore, you are not available for transaction. And the waking state, the manifesting medium, the mind is there. Therefore, you are very much there with your manifestation. I am, when you say, you are, what now? There, a manifest knowledge. When you are not able to say you are very much there without, what now? Your Swarupam being without your manifestation. When are you available for transaction? You know, when I was sleeping, I did the gardening, I did the sweeping, I did all those things. Can you say that? I spoke to my daughter, I did with this my children, I cooked and then sleeping, I did all these things. That means you are you're available for transaction, isn't it? I tell you, you are as good as non-existent. You are useless even you are asleep. I should say that. No? You become big only when you become manifest, isn't it? And you have your body, mind comes, first manifesting medium, and through which sense powers, and through that the whole body, then fully you are man, isn't it? It's a manifest. So mind is the subtlest or direct manifesting medium, and the sense powers etc. are other next manifesting medium, and body is also manifesting medium. All these manifesting media are anatma. The manifest consciousness is Atma, the pure consciousness. Okay? We talk only mind, we talk about the mind because mind, no, because mind alone, this also becomes the body actually is the manifesting medium and the sense powers are manifesting medium. This subtle body is manifesting medium. But first, where should it manifest? Mind is the direct manifesting medium for consciousness. Is it clear? Manifesting medium is the anatma. Manifest consciousness is Atma, the pure consciousness. You should not say Atma, the pure consciousness is manifest consciousness. You're wrong, isn't it? The manifest consciousness is nothing but pure consciousness. Atma. What have you done now? You are able to intellectually separate yourself from your manifesting medium, the mind. Is it clear? Therefore, what he wants to say in this verse, Swabhavaha. Atma. What is Atma? Atma is of the Atma is in what form the Self is. Self and pure consciousness are one and the same. They are two different words. And the pure consciousness is the only pure existence, which alone is manifest as the existence of the entire prapancha. Existence of the mind, existence of sense powers, existence of pranas, existence of the body, existence of everything in this universe is manifest existence. The pure consciousness alone is the pure existence which is available for, which is of the nature of fullness, which is available for experience as the manifest existence. What is the manifest existence? Existence of every experienced object is what? Manifest existence. Existence of every Namarupa is manifest existence. That manifest existence is nothing but pure existence. Pure existence is nothing but pure consciousness, which is of the nature of fullness and which is ever pure. Ever pure means untainted, untouched by the dharmas of the manifesting media. All the impurities, all the blemishes, all the problems, all the attributes belong to the manifesting medium, not to the manifest consciousness, the I, which is the pure consciousness. What is I now? The manifest consciousness, isn't it? I, the manifest consciousness, is nothing but pure consciousness. And we have to see now, he's going to elaborate on this, the Atma Swarupam, we'll see next class. Slowly he's also gliding now. This is the difference. He answers in between Tarkikas. You understood what the argument of Tarkikas? Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti 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 Hari Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Hari Om.